Click the banner now or visit replay-radio.com.
The Air Force Reserve, stationed locally, serving globally.
Best Western Hotels can help you make your Wisconsin getaway one of your best vacations ever. They have over 50 locations statewide, so they can take care of you from Lake Geneva to the Northwoods and every place in between. And with amenities that include deluxe rooms, indoor pools, whirlpools, and high-speed internet, Best Western will make your visit a comfortable one. For reservations, call them toll-free at 1-800-BEST-WESTERN or visit them at bestwesternwisconsin.com. Discover Wisconsin with them. Best Western, the world's largest chain hotel.
Real Estate Unplugged, heard every Wednesday morning from 9 till 10 a.m., is an interactive show that answers all your questions about real estate. Thinking of buying a home? Call Jeff and Bill. Thinking of selling a home? Call Jeff and Bill. Upsizing, downsizing, condo, single family, townhome? Call Jeff and Bill. Listening to Real Estate Unplugged every Wednesday morning is the first step to a smart real estate investment. Listen to top experts every week or call in and get straight advice every Wednesday from 9 till 10, only on WRMN. AM 1410.
There's a brand new look to the Radio Shopping Show.
WRMN1410.com.
Fine dining, travel, entertainment, and more all in one place.
WRMN1410.com.
Roadshow schedules, featured items, and Radio Shopping Show rules.
WRMN1410.com.
Go to www.WRMN1410.com now for all your Radio Shopping Show information. The Radio Shopping Show, the most amazing show on the radio. Heard only on WRMN, AM 1410.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Excellent, Ken. How are you today?
Excellent.
Da Bears.
Well, I tell you what, after the first half of the first quarter, I thought the Bears would get their butts kicked.
Yeah, that's what it was looking like.
Oh, and they were. On the offensive and defensive line, they were getting destroyed.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure what turned. Well, I mean, I know the play that turned it around was Thomas Jones' 34-yard carry.
Yeah, no, that was
third
a great carry.
Third and 22 or
uh-huh.
something like that. That was amazing. But I don't know. It could have been that New York was just really gung ho at first and just blew their whole, you know, their whole wad, so to speak, at the beginning and just ran out of gas. I don't know, because the Bears just dominated in the second half.
Yeah, I would like to have been in the halftime locker room to hear what each team had to say and what exactly happened, because it did seem like after halftime it was like night and day for both teams.
Right, and Rex Grossman showed that he can come back. That's the first time he's ever done that, I think, where he's really stunk up the place and then played well.
And this is supposed to be a real team that the Bears have played.
A real team,
exactly.
Probably their. Their most rival foe in the NFC.
Yeah.
So, and played away at New York. So it's looking pretty good.
Absolutely. I'd have to agree with you with that.
So they could be for real. I was saying at the beginning of the game they're going to lose by 3-6. You know, it's just, you know, they'll give them a good game, but they're not going to win. And then they blow them out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was fun.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
For Bears fans, it was anyway.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, he lives in Chicago, but he's been a diehard New York fan all across the board since I've known him, and I couldn't wait to give him a call this morning.
Yeah, there you go.
How you doing, Glenn?
There you go. Yeah, the East Coast media people just weren't too happy about that, I don't think.
Well, of course not, but we wouldn't have been too happy about it had it gone the other way, so go Bears.
All right. Well, we're going to have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. I'm going to talk about, first, of course, about the election and my impression of what it means, what's going to happen. I think we'll just can the stupid regulation of the week this week and just go right to the analysis. Well, it seems to me, I hope, Mike, that the neocons are dead.
Mm.
It seems that the philosophy of the neocons to be to promote worldwide hegemony of American ideals, which is really American empire. I think that took a hopefully a death blow, or at least close to that. And at the same time, domestically, taking away all our rights. I'm hoping that that's going to reverse. Because the Republican Party's got to figure that they want power, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party wants power, just like the Democrats want power. And if they lose power because of those policies, maybe there'll be a movement away from that. Maybe a move, hopefully, more towards the libertarian side of what the Republican Party used to be about. Because the libertarians did not vote Republican this time. I think if they did vote, and if they didn't vote for a third party, like a Libertarian Party, they voted Democratic this time. And because the Democrats supposedly are anti-war and anti-domestic surveillance spying on American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see what's going to happen. I'm not holding my breath, because I think the Democrats are still pretty gutless. They won on nothing except a little bit of complaining and saying we could do it better. And I think it's going to take more than that to turn this country away from a police state. I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping there was such a reversal of power that people will sit up and take notice. The Democrats in power will take notice and say we actually have to do something about this unwinnable war. Was it just over the weekend? Another, was it 30 Army police recruits in Iraq got their bodies blown up, waiting in line to become policemen. And this has gone over and over and over again. I don't see how we possibly could win in a civil war situation. Let them blow each other up, as far as I'm concerned. Get our boys and men and women out of harm's way and back home. And it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats solve that. If they do solve that, they may keep their power for a while.
Well, you know what? It's going to take a while. Let's say they do things differently. It's just going to take a while to reverse what the Republicans have done over the last 8 years. And also, I'm looking forward to better relations with the foreign governments that we've lost touch with since Bush has taken over office.
Yeah, that may happen, I think. The differences in foreign policy between the Republicans and Democrats, I think you've kind of highlighted right there, I think, where the Republicans and the Bush administration just wanted to go it alone,
mm-hmm.
foreign policy, you know, and we don't care if we're unpopular, we're going to do it our way because we got the power and might. And the difference is, I think Democrats just want to kind of get the permission of their friends around the world to dominate where they have to.
And they didn't get the permission they wanted.
No. It remains to be seen, but I think the Democrats are almost as interventionist as the Republicans are.
Yeah.
Not all the Democrats. I mean, there's some on the left, on the hard left, who definitely want to, you know, get out of involvement overseas. But I don't think they're in power. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting time. I am really, really glad
mm-hmm.
that the Republican Party got trounced. Because the direction we were headed was not good. Not good at all. And I'd like to hear everybody else's opinions on that at 847-931-1410. What did the election mean? Are you happy with the election? Will it make any difference, Republicans and Democrats? Give us a call, 847-931-1410. And we will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we do have an open line today. Let's go right to the phones. We have Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How was your weekend?
Great.
Yeah, I watched that game last night. It kind of made me kind of sick to my stomach. I actually turned it off after halftime. I turned it off and I turned it back on to play before that run back. It was just amazing. And it looked like two different teams, you know?
It did.
I kept telling
it
people.
It did. It seemed like over time it's just in the line play, both offense and defense, that over time the Bears just withstood the pressure from New York and overcame. And, like, the New York just went out of gas. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they did. It's amazing because the way New York was playing, with all those people out, you know, that were injured, they were still playing like a top-notch team, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That was the hardest-hitting game I've seen all year.
Yeah, next week. I got a feeling that the Jets aren't going to be as easy, you know?
Well, they just beat New England.
I know.
The Bears still have a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah, well, it's too bad they couldn't get it in the beginning of the year instead of the end of the year, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
They meant, who knows, maybe they wouldn't have been ready for those kind of teams at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's although they handled Seattle, and Seattle's got a 6-3 record.
Yeah, but still, we'll see. They still, if they could just keep from dropping the balls and committing stupid penalties, then we'll be okay, you know.
Yeah.
That was a big downfall.
Well, John, this is all about football, or do you have any political comments?
I got a political comment. Well, you know, do we have to go there? You know, you were talking about, you know, the Democrats now versus the Republicans.
Yep.
And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't think I see a difference in those. I think people had enough of, you know, the Republicans being there as long as they have. But honestly, this is just my opinion, I don't think you're going to see that much of a change. I think it's all going to be cosmetic. And, you know, I'm just ashamed at the way the country voted. And I really do honestly feel that the country is not politically savvy. If you talk
why,
to
what,
just
what
the
would
average,
you have that how would you have would how would you have them vote in order for you to think that the country would be politically savvy?
Well, more people down the middle, more people in the Green Party. I mean, like it or not, Ken, okay, I got to the point where I've listened to you for a long time, and I've been a former Republican, and I've listened to both sides of the fence, and if you go through the process and you listen to the way the politicians talk and what they do, what they say is one thing and what they do is another thing, and there's been a few people on this show and other shows have shown me how to investigate some of what they do, and it's just horrendous. And part of the problem is the average Joe doesn't have the time to sit in front of his, you know, computer,
right,
and study what issues they pass or they don't pass. You know what I mean? And that's where it comes down to.
Well, it's going to take a long time, Jeff, for people to break their habit of voting for one of the two power parties. It just seems to be a really tough nut to crack. And actually, the Green Party, now the Green Party candidate for governor, do you recall what percent he got in Illinois?
He got a pretty good percentage.
I thought he got it. Last I saw, the totals of the Republican Democrat only added to 89%. And of course,
yeah,
that's typical of the networks. They don't list the third parties. But
oh, exactly.
I got a feeling he may have gotten about 11% of the vote.
Wait, and he got about 9.5%.
9.5. Mm-hmm. That's by far the best a third party candidate for governor has gotten in Illinois in my memory, and maybe of all time.
He did so well, in fact, that he does not have to petition next time they run for the governor.
Third parties need 5% or more,
and they're eligible now. That
so they are
they're
now
in.
An official party, mm-hmm, on the ballot as the Republicans and Democrats for the next election,
mm-hmm,
2 years, not in 4 years necessarily.
That's the key right there.
You have to keep that 5% in 2 years.
Well, you know, that's the key was getting on the ballot to begin with. I mean, I was trying to help somebody run in the Independent Party, and it was a no-go, man. And every time you turned around, and they actually pulled some shenanigans on us, sent us all the information 2 days after we were supposed to be down to the register, and, you know, down at the state building, and it was a joke. But the bottom line is this. I personally don't see anybody changing anything, and I think this was a play to run up for 2008. And from here on until 2008, all you're going to be hearing is people trying to maneuver other people to get, you know, candidate-wise, for president in 2008. And I actually think Hillary Clinton's going to do it because there's so much push out there on the left to get a woman president on there. And
well, there's no question in my mind if Hillary gets the nomination or gets elected, she'll be at least as bad as W. At least as bad. Only she's smart. She's not stupid.
Well, you know, she's
so
smart.
So as far as I'm concerned, she'll even be more evil.
Well, that's true. But, you know, here's the bottom line, I guess, what I'm going with. I try to elect people when I vote for somebody, like I would be hiring somebody to work for me. I don't know about you, but that's the way I look at their background, what they have done, all right, and how good they are and what they have done, passing bills or not passing bills. And the bottom line is I'm not going to pass anybody. I'm not going to vote for anybody that hasn't done squat except for talk, like Nancy Pelosi. All she does, she's just like Daschle and Gephardt and all the rest of them, Ted Kennedy. They're venomous. They're very anti, you know, anybody that goes against what they say, right or wrong. It's not about the people in the United States. It's about what makes them smell good. And that's what I think a lot of what's going on. They're never going to give up the power that they have there because it's too much power and too much money.
That's
no matter
what they're looking
how
for power. That's my fear. We'll see. Jeff, got to run.
I'll get off and let somebody else get on there. But
all
yeah.
Right. Thanks for your call. Okay. Hello, Norb. How you doing?
Hello. Ken, I just got a couple questions for you. The first question is, the national ID card is coming up in 2008.
Right.
What are your opinions, and what do you think you're going to do on it?
Well, I do think, of course, that the national ID card is outrageous. I don't know what authorization Congress has of passing that kind of law. I don't think it's called for in the Constitution. I think it's repugnant. I think it's a reminder of again, those old Nazi films that we used to see in the 50s, "May I see your papers, please?" And it's rather scary, and it's another cog in the continuing tightening police state. What am I going to do about it? I don't know. I will do something about it. I'm not going to sit down and just allow it to happen. But I can't say what it is yet. And as I've told Wendell, this is a show about ideas and not necessarily my personal machinations vis-a-vis government. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we have to fight them one way or another. We have to fight these police state tactics. And maybe it will call for some civil disobedience, extra civil disobedience. We shall see. What are you going to do?
If I knew, I wasn't going to ask you. I have no idea. None whatsoever.
Well,
I'll tell you the truth. I'm scared to death. I really am.
I think it's New Hampshire. I'm not sure. I think it's New Hampshire that, or it might be a western state, that voted not to get the funding and voted not to go along with this national ID card. Because it's implemented at the state level. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe enough states will say, you know, this is too much federal intrusion and we're not going to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we want more freedom, we're going to have to move to the free state of New Hampshire where there are a lot of libertarians are gathering. I don't know. A lot of possibilities out there.
Is there a meeting on Wednesday before Thanksgiving or no?
I don't recall the exact time and date, but yeah, there was it in Des Plaines? I think there was a meeting coming up.
Well, I'm talking about in Carpentersville.
Oh, our meeting.
Yes.
Our meeting is, yes, the last Wednesday of the month.
We'll have it
now, that's right before Thanksgiving normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh, what do we do? I have to think about this. I can't remember. I think there's sometimes in the past we've canceled that meeting.
Oh.
But as far as I know, right now the meeting is on, and I'll let you know, you know.
Okay.
Let's see, we have at least one more week, right, before Thanksgiving. I have to look at my calendar.
Yeah, we have 2 weeks left before Thanksgiving.
Is Thanksgiving 2 weeks from Thursday?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so we have just one more show before Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll know for sure by then if we're going to have a meeting. I think we are. I'm pretty sure we are.
All right.
There's been only once or twice that we've canceled before Thanksgiving. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
See you there, Norm.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, let's move on. We have Gary.
Hey, Ken. The meeting is going to be the 29th after Thanksgiving, just so you know.
Oh, that's the last Wednesday of the month?
Yeah, it is. The 29th will be the last Wednesday of the month.
Oh, cool. Well, then we will definitely have the meeting then.
Yeah, we just had a phone call about it. Just want me to pass on that information to you.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Go to Mike in Sycamore now.
Is Gary not there anymore?
No, he didn't want to hang on.
Oh, okay. All right. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing today?
Good.
A couple quick things. First, on that national ID card, maybe we could all have a party and burn them like they did the draft cards in the 1960s and just kind of tempt the government to come out and say, you can't do that.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
And second thing is, on the election, the reason the Republicans lost is because they stopped acting like Republicans and started acting like liberals and started spending money like it was water and passing all kinds of laws and regulations and taxation and all this other stuff that the American people seem to have voted against. That's why they threw the Democrats out.
Threw the Republicans out and brought the Democrats in. But my fear is this is what happens over the four or eight year cycle, it seems, Mike, is they get disenchanted with the one party in power and they vote the other party in power, which is really no real difference between the two.
Well, yeah, we agree on that. I mean, there's no argument there. It's like a shade of gray, okay? Do you go a little more to the white side, a little more to the dark side? I mean, it's how much tint you put in the gray.
Right.
There's no real difference. It's just the shade of gray you get.
We'll see. But, we'll see how strong the mandate, the electoral mandate was, and if the pro-freedom, anti-intervention Democrats have any power within their party at all. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Well, I'm just kind of concerned that if they cut and run prematurely, you know, September 5th will just be the first of many to come because, you know, the Muslims are going to see that as a sign
of
weakness.
I don't see what can we accomplish if we hate that term, by the way, cut and run. If we get our the men and women out of harm's way in Iraq, the result will be there'll be even worse civil war. Well, what will be the result if we stay? Isn't it just not going to prolong the inevitable?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I spent 7 years in the Marines, so I understand tactics. It's real simple. We're denying the enemy a base to operate from by keeping them occupied in that zone. Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, it's causing us casualties and money to fight them over there. But once they reconsolidate their power in Iraq and they have the resources of the Iraqi oil fields to fund their terrorism, they're not going to stay there. They've made it perfectly clear that they plan on destroying America by whatever means necessary. And you got the Iranians working on a nuclear weapon. And at some point, they're going to get it just like the North Koreans have. And then, like I said, they're going to bring it to us one way or the other.
You really believe that? You think if they tried something in this country that the United States of America wouldn't handle that in a real short order? I mean, if we really had an invasion of Islamic terrorists coming in this country,
we already have an invasion.
I don't get the alternative. The alternative is to steady the course.
No, you don't have to necessarily. If the boat's sinking, you don't stand on the deck and hold on to it, thinking you're going to keep it afloat. But on the reverse side is, you know, if your choice is jump in with the sharks, you know, it's like which one do I want to hold on to? You see what I'm saying? Because these people are not going to quit and go away.
Well, it seems to me, my opinion, Mike, is that the longer we're there, the more times that we kill innocent civilians, we grow the Islamic fascist or Islamic radical movement. It seems to me if we wouldn't intervene in the first place, the Islamic fundamentalist fascist radicals would be marginalized to such an extent that they wouldn't be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, how do you figure? You know, they blow up our embassies, they blow up our warships, they attack American citizens all over the planet in every fashion and form prior to September 11th. You know, so I mean, it wasn't because we were in Afghanistan or Iraq that they blew up the USS Cole.
We've been intervening in the Middle East, I mean, for a long, long time, at least since 1953 when the CIA assassinated the duly elected president of Iran.
Exactly.
And that's been the beginnings of the Islamic fascist movement. Mike.
Well, I think it goes up way back to the early 1900s when the British divided countries up, not caring about ethnic or religious backgrounds. They just went in there, drew lines on the map, and said, this is now Iran, this is now Afghanistan, you know, cutting, you know, like the Kurds into three sections and putting them as the minorities in the countries they're now in.
If we can agree that interventionism has been the cause of this radical movement, then wouldn't the solution be to not be so interventionist?
Well, the problem is you'd need a time machine to go back and unsink the boat. The problem is we already have the hole in the boat. If we withdraw, they're not going to simply say, oh, well, the Americans withdraw, everything's fine, we'll go back to praying to Allah and leave them alone. No, they're going to consolidate their power, they're going to get the resources necessary, and then they're going to continue their jihad because, as you see, you know, my whole point is, where are the moderate Muslims, you know, marching in the streets demanding that these murderers stop killing innocent women and children? Because you see a lot of these bombs in the malls and the marts over there in Iraq, killing women and children that are just out shopping and doing their day-to-day lives. They're not attacking the U.S. military head-on. You know, they're out blowing up women and children, but, you know, you don't see the moderate Muslims out there going, hey, you know, you people are killing innocent non-combatants. They're not fighting you.
See, that's partially my point, Mike, is that in Iraq, you don't have one group of people that are hell-bent in destroying America. You've got fighting factions for power between the Sunnis and the Shiites.
And, exactly, and, so and there's other
interests. If we leave, it's not like they're going to consolidate together and say, okay, now we're going to go against the great Satan America.
No,
we're
going to
keep on fighting each other and killing each other off in Iraq.
What you're going to have is outside influences like the Iranians funding and supporting a puppet government that will do the same thing Saddam Hussein did. Saddam Hussein helped Iraq together with an iron fist. You didn't hear this stuff because he would come in and kill the entire village if there was anything resembling an uprising.
And you got Syria, and you got Syria who will back the Sunnis. So again, I don't think what I see is a civil war continuing, and I don't see there's anything we can do about it. But it seems to me if they're busy fighting each other and killing each other, then they're not going to have so much time in terrorizing America. And those who do, here's what I would do. If I were President Mike, what I would say, I would immediately order all our military off of every foreign soil out of the world. All 130, 144 countries, whatever it is, we're withdrawing our troops. It's a new policy. It's an America First policy. It's a policy of don't tread on me. It's a policy we're bringing all our people back home, but we're going to protect our borders, we're going to protect our land, and don't you dare come and mess with us because we will destroy you. But we are going to stop intervening in your lives. Here's the deal. You can have your own country, your own lives. We're not going to mess with you, but don't mess with us. I think that would work, Mike.
Well, I agree on that at some point because, like the Japanese and the Germans for the last 50 years, it depended on us to finance and defend their countries at no cost to themselves. You know, I fully agree that, you know, we should tell Japan, South Korea, Europe, hey, guess what? We're going to do a phase-down withdrawal over a two-year period. At the end of the 2 years, the only thing we're going to have left here is the runway we flew off of, and you guys can fix it yourself and pay for it yourself because we're not going to protect you from yourself anymore. But on the reverse side, you know, like I said with the Middle East, if we simply cut and run, that's going to embolden the people that attacked us because they're going to say, oh, another chapter in the paper tiger. Once again, they got a bloody nose and ran.
Yep.
And then we'll see another September 11th. And unfortunately, I fear that our whole southern border is unprotected. We got 12 million illegal aliens. If just 1% of that 12 million is hostile,
hey, why not bring the troops? If you want to protect the border, then bring the troops home and protect the border. I would much rather have our troops doing that than fighting an unwinnable war in Iraq.
Yeah, I'm fully agreed on that.
All right. I got to run. Get a lot of the people waiting in line, all right? Thanks for your call. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazzeri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazzeri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Watch the police and the tax man miss me.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings Open Line. Let's go right back to the phones. We have Therese. Hello, Therese.
Hi, Ken. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Ken?
Good. How are you?
I am terrific. Reason I'm calling is, well, first of all, regarding the war in Iraq, I think you and I agreed that they shouldn't have never have gone there in the first place, and I think we should just get out of there. But there was an article in the American Free Press a while back indicating that some of the terrorists there in Iraq were happened to be British troops because they were captured, put in prison, and then there was another raid. They went to prison, and they got them out of there. And also, I don't know if you remember years ago, there's a School of the Americas that has been in the, and this is where they train terrorists. So in other words, they have to create the problem, they come up with the solution. However, what I think is really important, among other things, not the only thing, is the fact that President Bush is trying to eliminate the borders between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico. And he did that, and he met with Prime Minister of Canada and Vicente Fox in 2005, and they decided to form a prosperity, it's called the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Then they met again in March 31st, 2006, and they started a committee called the American Competitiveness Council. It's a council that they started. It's made up of members of the private sector from each country who will meet annually with security and prosperity ministers and will engage with senior government officials on an ongoing basis. So in other words, they're already trying to implement this and negate our Constitution. Now this is a letter. I knew all this, but this is a letter from Representative Pastor. Now, at the end of the letter, he says, "Nonetheless, on September 28, 2006, Representative Virgil Good, a Republican from Virginia, introduced House Congressional Resolution 487, remember that number, 487, expressing the sense of Congress that the United States should not enter into a North American union with Mexico and Canada or engage in the construction of a NAFTA superhighway system."
Evidently that's already in the works.
Yeah, in this, they have no business doing this.
Right.
But anyway, this bill right now is referred to two committees. It's in the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and the House International Relations Committee. So what we have to do, I don't have my congressional book in front of me, but we have to get to these people on the committee and tell them that they should vote for this congressional resolution. And as far as I'm concerned, Bush has no business doing this. He's a traitor to the Constitution. He was supposed to have taken an oath to defend the Constitution, and he's not doing this. And now another issue is the fact that there are two Border Patrol members who are sent to jail, one for 11 years, one for 12 years, for doing their job. They found some people coming up from Mexico with drugs, and the United States paid for these, and they escaped back to Mexico, but the United States paid for these men to come back and testify against our Border Patrol agents. In other words, our government does not want a secure border. You know, we don't need troops down there. We don't need a fence. We just need them to be allowed to do their job. And the Minutemen have been doing a great job down there without a fence. It's just that our government, our administration, doesn't want a secure border. And that's the real issue. So I think that we should, be aware of a lot of things. And I wish people would subscribe to the American Free Press, because that's where all the information is. You're not going to get in the major press. I mean, well, there's a few things in there, just a few things. And then you were talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
She scares me because she's vicious.
She's voted for every power-seeking bill that Bush has wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act.
Exactly.
She wants that power.
Yes, she does. She does. She's very evil. You know, I was watching. Remember the Watergate, the two, Woodward and Bernstein, who, the investigation on that? If that was so bad, then why didn't they go after Hillary when she stole the 900 FBI files on our congressmen and senators, representatives over there? In other words, nothing happened to her, and she didn't. She still has it. This is why I think she's bullying everybody and getting what she wants.
Teflon woman, I guess. Everything slides off of her.
Oh, she's evil. She is evil. If she got elected, we'd see a Marxist flag flying over the country very, very shortly. And it would just...
Well, Hillary Clinton or John McCain, they're both very scary propositions to me.
Oh, you're not kidding. And the sad thing is, the Republicans haven't, you know, if they would go back to the principles of the Republican Party and get back their platform and dig it out and adhere to it, it would be, it would be a real benefit to this country.
Well, it should be interesting the next year or two to see how the Republican Party reformulates, because the neocons, I believe, are finally in huge disrepute.
Yes, and then but the sad thing is, too, the Democrats have been going right along with the Republicans on all this baloney.
Yeah,
So I could go on and on, but thank you for letting me talk, and you have a great day, Ken.
Thanks for your call, Therese. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, let's move on. We have Walter. Hey, Walter.
Hey, Ken. Hello.
What happened?
Hey. You there?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, we are going to be having that meeting on Wednesday. The 29th.
I didn't realize it was the Wednesday was after. Usually it falls before Thanksgiving, so that's good. It's going to be after Thanksgiving.
Yep. Week after Thanksgiving. So that. And I just wanted to comment on Mike, who had called in earlier. He seems like the quintessential person who is taken in by the state of fear that they've created with, terrorism and everything like that. Like, we're so frightened that they're going to attack us that we have to stay on the offensive. And
I've noticed this isn't true. Permeates with veterans.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, I'm a veteran, and I know what this whole state of fear, does to people. And it's because it just makes them not think. They just, take in the information and say, yeah, we got to stay on the offensive here. And, I in total agreement with you. That just adds fuel to the fire. And
that's what we've been doing. That these people don't realize is that this whole dynamic process of the interactions between different groups in America and these terrorists, whatever, it's not a static thing.
Right.
It's not like we just kill a bunch of them, 100 or 1,000 or 100,000 of them, and they'll go away.
Right.
We actually make more of them when we do that.
Right, yeah, like the head of the Hydra. Cut one off and 10 more pop up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And,
exactly.
And so that, and to kind of lead into that, I mean, that pretty much leads into what this election is going to mean it's going to mean nothing. Now we're going to be complaining about neoliberals pretty soon. But we're going to
I'm afraid you're right.
I'm somewhat
hopeful. I'll tell you what. I'm almost as hopeful that the Democrats might actually do something as I was after the first quarter of the Bears game. The Bears are going to do something because I thought they're just going to get their butts kicked.
Right.
But I guess I'm just an optimist. I have this slim hope that there was such a reversal of power here, such an obvious mandate to get us out of Iraq, and I would think to get us away from this police state, that maybe we'll move towards it. Yeah, but I'm not holding my breath.
Right, and that's that, and my reason for that is because I believe it was Nancy Pelosi basically said that impeachment is completely off the table.
Oh, thank you for reminding. That's what I wanted to talk.
Do you think
possibly that maybe George Bush got a little, I don't know how he got the signal, or maybe he's smart enough to figure it out.
Right.
But I think it's either you play our ball game, you either enact the immigration reforms we want and minimum wage that we want,
health
care reforms we want, or impeachment proceedings are going to commence.
Right, yeah. And you're right. I mean, maybe that's what they, because that's what the Democrats are really all about now. I mean, they want to get their agenda put forward.
Yep.
And if he's going to have the same, you know, freeness with his signing pen as he did beforehand, well, then, you know, I mean, we're not going to have any vetoes. You know, we'll have the minimum wage. We will have, you know, the immigration policies. We'll have everything. And basically, I mean, it's just, you know, something in a different clothing. They both want the same thing. You know, they're going to consolidate the power in Washington. You know, we may redo, No Child Left Behind, but it'll be basically the same thing. You know, more federal power in education, less, you know, for local and state groups, and, you know, all the way down the line. I mean, it's...
yeah, I'm
it's
right.
Frustrating, you know, because I hear a lot of people talking how the election was a great thing, and then we have a mandate from the people, but you know, it's not going to be really any different, I don't think.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, I will be watching, but like you said, I'm not holding my breath.
No. All right, Walter, thanks for your call.
You bet. We'll see you.
And let's move on to Bob. We have Bob.
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Good.
I want to caution Therese to be cautious about taking anything from the American Free Press on face value. Over the weekend, I went to Schomburg Library to a 911 conference put on by Christopher Bolin, who used to be an employee of the American Free Press, but he's been fired here in the last 3 weeks. But you're probably familiar with the 911 truth movement.
Right.
And it gets more outrageous as you get closer to it. You know, he's alleging that now there's been thermite planted in the World Trade Center towers, and that's what really brought them down. And the evidence for that is that there's a pile of molten steel at the bottom of the buildings after they fell. You know, he's got all kinds of theories, but they just don't make logical sense. You know, one of the allegations is that the Pentagon was hit not by a jetliner, but rather a missile. So let me get this straight. There were four jetliners hijacked that day, and three of them crashed into two of them crashed in the World Trade Centers, one crashed in Shanksville, but the fourth one at the Pentagon wasn't really a jetliner, it was a missile. It just makes no sense that you would have four hijackings and have one plane just disappear, and that this fourth building was hit by a missile. So I don't know.
There's a lot of questions that need to be answered about the whole 911 tragedy. I don't have the answers, and I think some of those in the 911 conspiracy theory movement are drawing conclusions too quickly. On the other hand, I think the other side, the establishment side, won't even open their eyes and ears to inquiry at all, which is it seems to me more outrageous. So
I
think we both need to keep any option open of what possibly happened, and let the facts fall for where they may.
Well, I'm not saying they're not anomalies that happened on that day, but it's going to be a waste of time to try to revisit that issue. I'd much rather see them spend their time figuring out how we got into Iraq.
Well, there's a lot of issues out there that need to be pursued, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Okay.
Bob, thanks for your
like
call.
Like your show. Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Well, we're back with Freedom Rings. All right, at the end of the program, let's go to the quotation of the week. This is from Edmund Burke. Those who have been once intoxicated with power and have derived any kind of emolument from it can never willingly abandon it.